نحمده و نصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد قال الله تعالى في قدره المجيد اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد المهدي للجود والكرم اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلي البلبم الله اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلي وصحابي وبارك وسلم أما
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is great. We should be very extremely grateful to him that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to us given to us another gathering of islah through which we can be rectified and improved. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this gathering of ours and the pious elders, our pious Naqshbandi elders, may Allah ta'ala give us the ability to attain their blessings and their learnings. My brothers, the reality is that the foundation of the deen, the real foundation of our deen, is based on our yaqeen, our faith, our certainty. If a person's yaqeen, faith and certainty is strong, and if he makes it stronger, then the more that person's deen becomes strong. So deen, if a person's deen is slow and weak, it's one reason for that, one cure. If you analyze why is a person's deen weak and not strong, then you see any, for example, disease a person has, if you don't diagnose it properly, analyze it properly, then the cure given for it is not correct. But if you diagnose it properly, then doesn't matter how big a disease it is, then that human being can be cured. So this point we're discussing, that not practicing deen, not having deen in the life, disobeying, not practicing the orders of Allah. We make a lot of excuses. We start thinking maybe it's due to this reason I'm weak, or maybe due to this reason I'm not practicing, or due to this reason I'm not doing something. But what's the real reason for our weakness? Is this, that the faith, the yaqeen of that individual is not correct. The yaqeen. Our whole deen depends on our yaqeen, our certainty, our faith. Our Naqshbandi elders, the Hazrat Bahauddin Naqshband rahmatullahi, who is the founder of this silsila, he says that if your yaqeen is solid, if your faith and certainty is solid, then you become more complete as a person. So in reality, the deen is based on this as well, the religion. So we say that, oh, I've got a lot of yaqeen. Every man say, I've got strong faith, I've got faith in the Quran, I've got faith on Makkah, faith on Medina, I've got faith on praying Salah, I've got faith in Allah. Astaghfirullah, how can you say to me that I have solid belief and faith in the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Everyone claims this, but this is dawah. This is just a statement that you are making. But faith, yaqeen, certainty, the apparent demonstration of it, how do we realize that a person... It's not by speaking that, yes, I've got strong faith on this point, or I've got strong faith on the kitab that this is sahih and that Jannah is correct and Jahannam is there and that the Prophet ﷺ, whatever he said, is correct. This is not yaqeen. This is not faith, certainty. Yaqeen, you realize, due to the amal of that individual, due to the practice of that individual. How do you realize the strength of yaqeen? That I've got yaqeen on the Quran. So how will you realize you've got faith in the Quran? Belief in the Quran? Does he practice on it? The more, if you claim that I really have belief and faith in the Quran, then the more that person will practice the Quran. You don't understand what I'm saying? Yeah? There's an example I'll give to you. For example, you're sitting in a room and you want to come out of the room. I'll give you an example. The person comes in. Are you going out? Yes, I need to leave. And there's a lot of rain outside there. If you leave the room. He says, it's raining. He says, but I have to go. So he's got yaqeen. On which point? That it's raining. He has got yaqeen, isn't it? So what will he do to practice that yaqeen? What will he do? The practice will react to that. So as soon as he goes out, he'll have an umbrella in his hand to protect him. So he realized that he had yaqeen, he had belief that, yes, it's raining, I need the umbrella. He said, okay, it's fine. Nobody's raining. And he just leaves the room like that. What will happen then? Then it's raining, it's pelting down, but he didn't have that real belief, he didn't practice on that. So today if we say that we, for example, our whole deen is based on the Quran, the whole deen is based on the Quran, isn't it, today? So what's the reason that we don't follow the Quran? It's because in reality we don't have the yaqeen on the Quran. If we had yaqeen in the Quran, belief in the Quran, then our practice would be according to the Quran. We would follow the verses of the Quran. We would implement the verses of the Quran. So this is the real reason. That if I say I believe in the hadith and I have belief in the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even the Sahaba were the example of yaqeen. That did you ever hear from any companion that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said a statement and the companions didn't practice it? Is there any example of the Sahaba where they didn't implement? You know, we read all the hadith books and the kitabs. So in front of us, even if you show a person the whole of Sahih al-Bukhari and he reads it from front to back, but we will only practice what we want to do. So this is the reason of fasad today around us, within us, fasad. We say we believe, we watch, we see, but there's no amal. This means the yaqeen isn't present in us. So our claim of yaqeen is false, it's a lying. How can it be? That if we learn that the Holy Prophet ﷺ said something, he said a statement, and we don't practice on it, then tell me, how can that person be a Muslim? Think yourself, that a Muslim, he gets information about his Prophet, and the Prophet ﷺ said, do this, and he doesn't do that. Then does he have belief on that? If he had belief that if I don't do this, I'll be destroyed. This is the statement of the Prophet ﷺ. This is Allah's order, and this is the order of the Prophet of Allah. So if our beloved Nabi has said this, if I don't do it, then that means my deen is gone. Not this, that we know everything. Just one statement, forget all of them. Just one statement of Rasulullah, if you reject it, you're a disbeliever. One statement, he's a disbeliever. If you criticize, you become a munafiq. You can't even criticize or make a fuss against the statement of the Prophet. You shouldn't be against it. He's a disbeliever, that person, straight, who opposes, who criticizes, who smirks at it, and not practicing it, then he doesn't have yaqeen. He doesn't have certainty. He doesn't have faith. Do you understand what I'm saying? So amal demonstrates yaqeen. So today if we practice on those statements of the Prophet ﷺ, then all the disputes will finish. The quarrels will finish. The splits within us will finish. As Ali, karamallahu wajh radiyallahu anhu, a person came to him. And he put forward a weird question, you could say. A unique question. He said, Hazrat, first of all, look at the generation. This is the era of Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, the Sahaba there. How close he is to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just some years after. And he's saying that before it used to occur, that in the homes there were pious, upright children. He's asking this to Hazrat Ali karamallahu wajh. And look how close their era was to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said before in the homes, in the families, there were pious, upright children. But he said slowly, slowly, that's reducing. And this is the era of Hazrat Ali. So what will be the situation today then, if we compare to that? So such a great question that fits us today. That fits, and there's a cure for us if we listen to this. For the whole society there's a cure. Hazrat Ali karamallahu, he's asking for an answer from Hazrat Ali. And Hazrat Ali's answer, the answer of Hazrat Ali, imagine how precious his answer was. How valuable his answer was, that if he responds to that. That he said that the era before us, the children in every house, the children were pious, upright, good children. But now, I'm looking around me, he said, that's reduced. What's the reason for that? He said to Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. So whose answer was this? Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Ali, who is he? What a great companion. Look at his maqam, his status. Tell me. His status is so great in our deen that Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said himself that I am the city of knowledge and he is the door. He is the door to the city of knowledge. So all the uloom, subjects of ma'rifah, nearness to Allah, sharia, fiqh, jurisprudence, all uloom, where do they start from? Rasulullah is the city. And to attain that ilm, what will be the door? Hazrat Ali karamallahu wajh. He is the door to the city of knowledge. Imagine his status, Hazrat Ali. Tell me. Imagine his rank. Hazrat Aisha, Siddiqa radiallahu anha, once she saw Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, and she used to see him regularly, and she used to also see Hazrat Ali as well. So Hazrat Aisha said that I've seen you, Abajan, my father, that with love, very attentively, you keep on looking at the face of Hazrat Ali. What's the reason, my father, that you keep on looking at his face? What's the benefit of this? So I'm telling you the virtues now of Hazrat Ali karamallahu wajh. The Hazrat Aisha is asking her father, that my father, you regularly look at Hazrat Ali. That those people who say they love the Ahlul Bayt, you know, they've got the title. But listen to us as well, that how much love we have for Hazrat Ali. Those people today who claim to have love for Hazrat Ali. So Hazrat Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu anha is asking her father. Abu Bakr Siddiq replied, yes, my daughter, you've not heard the hadith of Rasulullah that he said once this statement. And she said, my father, what is that he said? And Abu Bakr Siddiq replied, Dhikrun Ali Ibadat. That Ali's dhikr, and to see his face, to speak about him and to see his face is ibadah as well, is worship. So how can I remove my face and glance from looking at him? This was the love of the Sahaba amongst each other. SubhanAllah. Look here. The love. Yes? So I'll tell you another riwayah narration, great narration based on love. Hazrat Ali was present, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu was also present. Both were present. And Abu Bakr Siddiq, he started to look at Hazrat Ali continuously at his face of Hazrat Ali. So Hazrat Ali, he kept on looking at Hazrat Ali. And Hazrat Ali was surprised, he was a bit taken aback. He said, Amirul Mu'mineen Abu Bakr Siddiq, why do you keep on looking at me continuously and studiously? What's the reason? And Abu Bakr Siddiq said, there's a reason that I heard from Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that to see the face of Ali is ibadah, it is worship. SubhanAllah, imagine. And another point he said, I've heard as well. Look at the aqeedah he had on this. He said, I've also heard from Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi that any individual, he will not enter into paradise until he doesn't get the stamp of approval of Ali. He will not enter. The person who doesn't have that stamp of approval of Ali, that individual cannot enter Jannah, he cannot become a Jannati. This is the maqam, he said, I've heard. So Abu Bakr Siddiq, then he lowered his head. And then Hazrat Ali started to look Abu Bakr Siddiq in the same way. And he said, Ali, why are you looking at me? Abu Bakr Siddiq asked him, what's the reason that you're glaring at me? He said, are you just doing the same as I did? He said, no. He said, you didn't complete the statement I heard. Also on top of that, what did Rasulullah say? He said that once Rasulullah said, Hazrat Ali is saying this now, that person cannot go into paradise in whose heart, in whose chest he doesn't have love for Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. That individual cannot go into paradise. So this is the love amongst them, between them, the Sahaba. Imagine. So there's no difference of opinion here. So this is the maqam of Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhum. And Hazrat Ali was asked once, back to the question, that what's the situation that in the homes, the children, they are not like the time of Rasulullah. So the answer that Hazrat Ali will give, then I just gave you this introduction. So what will his answer depend on? On our... do we have yaqeen and belief in his response? Today we'll realize if we really have yaqeen. Because Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, when he gave the cure, the reason, the reply that this is the reason that the children today in the households are not pious, upright, and that children are becoming sinful, and there's azab. And we can compare this to this generation today. So even today, if we practice on his advice and response, alhamdulillah, then most definitely, it depends on our faith. Most definitely we will cure the problem that we have in our households. Our generation will be improved. Our youth will be improved. Our children will be improved. If we practice this, they'll start practicing the deen, they'll start praying salah, they'll start following the sunnah, they'll become lovers of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If we follow this response of Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. So what a great cure Hazrat Ali karamallahu wajhahu must have given at that time. What a great cure he must have given in his statement. So he stated, he's given an answer. Listen carefully, attentively with your heart, with love. Listen to the answer. I'm explaining, sharing this. Ajeeb, I read this today. Ajeeb, unique hadith I've read today. This subject that we're discussing. I'm so happy, I was amazed that the friends of Allah, I gave du'as to them, our pious predecessors. That how Allah Ta'ala gave basirat and vision. And I paid attention to my shaykh that, look, the farasat and the vision, the sight that Allah gave, that I didn't even have ilm of this. Before this, and the king of the knowledge, who is the king of the kings, the Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that he's given the cure, the door of knowledge has given us the cure, so that our generation can be improved. That we've got our own methods, we think let's do X, Y, Z to improve our society. But brothers, follow the solutions that the Sahaba Ikram prescribed to us. Imagine the great impact of their advice. So he gave the answer, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. That, do you know what's the reason? He said, what's the reason that the children are off track? He said, Dhikrullah. Subhanallah. What did he say? Dhikrullah. He said, how comes? He said, the reason, the meaning of what I'm saying is, that just like dhikr should be performed, like dhikr used to be performed before, dhikr is not taking place now. And by not doing dhikr, this fasad and fitan that we see around us in households, children, are not practicing deen, they are away from the deen, not like they were before in the first generation. We see that effect now. So just like the situation, the status, how it should be, dhikr is not taking place now. So the individual said, how should dhikr be taking place then? Listen carefully to the next response. It's a detailed response he gave. He said, how should dhikr be done then? He said, dhikr should be done like this, that you should do so much dhikr that people think you are mad and crazy due to the amount of dhikr that you are doing. That's how much dhikr should be performed. The more you do dhikr kathir, then your improvement will take place and your household, your family members will be improved. So my brothers, now comes the yaqeen, the belief. How many hadith about dhikrullah do we know we've heard, and how we've been explained to us these hadith about dhikrullah? So how big a cure we've got at our disposal. And that's why dhikr is performed. That's why our pious elders tell us to do dhikr so that we can rectify ourselves. Today we cry in our families, there are problems, there are issues, and wrong actions are taking place. My friends, have courage, determination, grab hold of the dhikr of Allah. The cure that Allah and His Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam have given to us, prescribed to us, dhikr is such an action. And it's not that dhikr that you do with your own choice, it's kathir dhikr that they have prescribed to us. The Quran says itself. The Quran, Hazrat Ali didn't give us some new subject when he said do dhikr. Yes? So if we want to improve ourselves, rectify ourselves, do our islah, the evil things inside us or the wrong actions in our life, we want to get rid of them, and the things that we're lacking, we want to bring them into our lives. Because we're lacking things. The circumstances maybe are not good around us, within our lives. Look at the era that we're passing through, the generation that we're passing through, the amount of fitnas and ignorance and wrong that's around us and that's taking place. Brothers, there is a cure for all of this. That close your eyes and just go towards the dhikr of Allah. And for that you need one thing. What is that? I've told you that before. Yaqeen, you need belief in this cure. Belief. Not that you do dhikr 1 week, 2 weeks later, oh, there's no benefit. I did dhikr for 1 week or 2 weeks. There's no positive impact in my life of doing dhikr. We complain, oh, I'm not being improved. No. You have to have yaqeen until that time that death doesn't come to your life. Don't leave dhikrullah. And your yaqeen, your faith in dhikrullah should be so strong that most definitely success in our life in this world and the hereafter will be due to the dhikr of Allah. That's how strong your belief should be in dhikr of Allah. If our yaqeen was solid today, then we would never leave dhikr of Allah in our lives. Never would we be busy in other actions and we discard dhikr of Allah. Never. So it's a big, big dawah, big learning. that right now in our lives today, we should be in an environment, if you want to save your iman, you want to save your children, you want to save your offspring, you want to save your family members, then firmly, regularly grab hold and do the dhikr of Allah. First of all, teach your children dhikr of Allah. Bring your children to the gatherings of dhikr of Allah. Because those people who do dhikr of Allah, sit with them, go and sit in the company. Look, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, there cannot be that if you sit in the gathering of dhikr of Allah, you will never leave empty-handed from the gathering. Never will you leave empty-handed from that. Our motto, our mission, our objective is to please Allah, isn't it? All of us. We want to please Allah, we want to please Allah. Then that's what you'll get from the gathering of dhikr of Allah, the pleasure of Allah you will attain, for sure. So let's pray to Allah that Allah gives us the love of dhikr of Allah. Do dhikr. And the biggest thing is that when you hear things, when you hear such great statements from the blessed tongues of the Sahaba Ikram, you hear the hadith, you hear the verses of the Quran, then you should have solid belief in that, that bring it physically into your life straight away. Bring it physically into your life straight away. Yes, there's anything that can compare to the Quran, such a great kitab Allah has given to us, Quran Hakim, and it's full of cure upon cure upon cure, the Quran. All of the Quran is the cure for our lives today. Shifa is rahmah for the mu'min, for the believers. Quran. The pious predecessors have said about this, that without belief and without amal, the Quran doesn't give benefit. It doesn't give you any benefit at all. Rather, then there's a confirmed statement. There's a confirmed statement that a person who reads the Quran, but he doesn't practice on it, and he doesn't trust on it, then there's a clear statement that the Quran says, what's the reason for that? Because if you're thinking about the Quran, and you're pondering of the Quran, but you're not practicing, the reason is that on their hearts, there's a padlock on the heart of that person. A padlock. The person who reads the Quran, akfalaha on the qulub, their hearts are padlocked, sealed. The Quran says this. So have yaqeen, belief that Allah is saying, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying, the noble companions are telling us that there is a cure for us. There is a cure. Now we don't see here, we don't look here, that Allah said this, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said this, then 100% there's no need to doubt it. Doesn't matter how much shaitan makes you doubt, you say 100% there's cure in this, what the Rasulullah has told us. Alladheena tatma'inna qulubihim bi dhikrillah, Allah says in the Quran. Clear, isn't it? But we don't believe in this. We have belief in paracetamol, tablets, injections, and scans, and tests. But we don't believe in the solution that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given to us. That don't go anywhere. You will only get satisfaction, contentment, peace through where? Dhikrullah. That's it. Grab hold of dhikrullah. If you want peace and contentment. Dhikr, whether you can feel it or not, don't leave the action, because you're going to get the cure from dhikrullah. That's it. And sometimes Allah delays in giving. Why? Because Allah is testing that how solid is this belief in this person's belief in me? Does he have belief and conviction in what I'm saying? Or is he just testing me? One is testing out Allah, and one is delaying, one is believing in Allah properly. A person who practices just for a few days, they're playing games with Allah. What a big sin that you're playing games with Allah. Is Allah really honest here? If I do this action, Allah will give to me. And if after a few days you don't get it, I'll leave that. Oh, dhikr has not given me benefit after a few days, weeks, and I leave it. Then he goes worse into his wrong lifestyle. But if you are practicing, remember this, a beautiful statement this is, that if you keep practicing, even if you don't get cured, then inshallah, in Jannah you will get the rank of the Shahadat. Definite. If you keep waiting, he'll stand and say, Allah, that I had 100% belief in you, I had no knowledge of anything else, that thing I believed in, Allah, where's my Jannah paradise, at least give me that now, he'll say. He'll claim that. So the people of Yaqeen, they'll have high rank. Yaqeen doesn't mean that Allah give me right now in the dunya. Don't demand all the results in the dunya. The person who believes in Allah has Yaqeen. Allah elevates his status so much that Allah says, let me see how long this person runs with me. Or does he make a U-turn and run away? Does he make a U-turn and run away? So this is the foundation of our whole deen is Yaqeen. Patience. That don't test out Allah, play games. Okay, I'll do dhikr for a few days, see what Allah gives. No, so many days I've done, 3 years, 4 years, I haven't got success. Maybe I'm not succeeding, I'm not getting the fruits in the world. So you think you're testing Allah now? You're asking Allah for results. Is this your yaqeen? The person with yaqeen will say, Allah, I don't know anything. I've believed in Allah's words. Amanu wa sadaqna, I will carry on practice till the end. Till the end. Doesn't matter what I see. And he succeeds. Success equals what? What is success? Success means that Allah Ta'ala has given to you what you wanted. Allah has given to you what you wanted, that when you started practicing, you had yaqeen in Allah, so you've attained that thing, end of story. You've attained that thing. If Allah doesn't give it to you in the world, it wasn't appropriate for you. It didn't suit you in the world, what you were seeking. Allah says, I didn't like it, I give it to you in the world. So I've set it aside for you, reserved it in the akhirah, and due to your yaqeen, Allah says, I'll reward you in the hereafter, in paradise. But the person who fails in playing games with Allah, oh, there's no benefit in dhikr, Allah's not giving me anything in the world. All the benefits of dhikr Allah's mentioned, remember this in our deen, then definitely you will attain those things. 100% have the yaqeen in that. But the person who has a slight doubt in this, he fails. He fails. So if your yaqeen is solid, then your deen is solid. Yes? So tell me, this is the first step. And the first step of yaqeen you develop by going into the company of the awliya Allah. That's why it says that when a student reaches to the company of awliya Allah, then he's attained the first step of yaqeen. That the student should have yaqeen, solid belief yaqeen, certainty in his teacher. If the student doesn't have yaqeen in his teacher, then he can't even go on the first step. Then how will he go up the rest of the steps? Yes, that you are being taught by the teacher to get close to Allah, then you should have 100% solid belief and yaqeen and aqeedah in the teacher, that through this door of this teacher I will attain my deen. This is where the door will open to success for me. I'll just sit here, end of story. I've arrived to the destination, end of story. No doubts. That's why it's called taluq billah. The connection between, if you keep changing the shaykh, on this shaykh, I don't like what he's doing, I don't go to another teacher, then you leave that teacher and you go to another teacher and you're wandering around like a wild animal. Everywhere you'll keep on digging, but you won't get to the treasure. But if you keep digging in one place, eventually you'll get down to the water. Eventually you'll get down to the water. If you keep changing the digging location, you'll never get there. But even if there's a delay from that one place, eventually you'll attain the success. So today, for our generation and society today, the biggest thing we're lacking, we don't have yaqeen in the statement of Hazrat Ali radhiyallahu anhu, we don't have yaqeen in the Quranic verses, and we don't have any yaqeen on Allah Ta'ala's advice. Allah says that success will come to that person, those people who have yaqeen in the advice of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. On all the prophets, all the anbiya, they came with the same message. And they gave us this advice. That successful are those people who had yaqeen and certainty on their nabis, who practice what they said. So my brothers, we are that ummah, that we are those who believe in the imam of all the anbiya, of the prophets. We don't implement his instructions, that he is the imam of all the prophets. Rasulullah, and we don't implement and obey his orders, advice. If he says, where imama is my sunnah, the blessed turban, I'm happy, Allah is happy. We say, no, we don't understand this. If he says, do this action, we say, we don't need to do it. Any amal, that this is called following the sunnah, following the advice of Rasulullah. This is the measurement gauge for us. Yes, the how do we practice the sunnah? That we heard something X, Y, Z from Rasulullah. He said, if you do this, then this will happen. If you do this, then this will happen. If you do this, then this will happen. So this should be a standard of a mu'min of his life. This is our standard. And what will we get? That, for example, who said this? That philosopher or this professor said this? Or a scientist said? No, we've got one guide, that our Nabi said this, and that's why we're practicing. That's enough for us. That's enough for us. Why do you eat halal meat? Well, why don't you just take it from the machine or stun it? What's the difference? Answer. Give the answer. Because you've got yaqeen. That we have 100% yaqeen on this, that just like our Prophet ﷺ said, the method to make the meat halal, that's correct. We don't believe anything else. That's correct way. Doesn't matter, even if, for example, our knives look dirty and your machines look clean and efficient and your process efficient, but we've got yaqeen that the spirituality and connection to Allah will be made through this practice. So this is the problem today, that we have yaqeen. Why do you do this today? Oh, you can't prove this. There's no wisdom, that there's loss here. And they'll give us bad, that drink alcohol and there's benefit here. They'll give benefits of swine and this and that or other actions. Yes, and disrespect. What's our answer? Always. That our Nabi said this, our Prophet said this, and we obey him, and we follow his orders. That's it. That's all we know. We've accepted him, that we will only obey you. We have no need for any other benefits or proofs. Our Prophet said this, and that's why we practice this. That's the answer. Never debate with anybody. Don't need to go into lengthy gossip, debate. We have no time for that. Because you have yaqeen, faith, whatever Rasulullah said, end of story. End of story. No need to debate or argue or quarrel. Just one answer. Doesn't matter how many proofs another person gives. Say, that's fine, my friend. You stay happy. But we've heard this explanation from Nabi al-Mursaleen, the Prophet of Allah, and his statements are haq, and we're going to practice that. We have no need for your proofs and your logics, nothing at all. So always yaqeen will make you pass the test. Shaitan has such dalils. Shaitan has such waswasa and whispering and evil negative thoughts that he takes a person out of Islam. But only one answer can beat shaitan. Only one answer can beat shaitan. And what is the answer? Amantu billahi wa rasulihi. That I believe in Allah and Rasulullah. That's it, shaitan. Oh, you're going to become poor if you don't take interest, if you don't do riba. And this will happen, you'll be a loser, you'll go backwards. Oh, look at that family, those people, they're rich. Oh, you, Maulvi, you're backward, you've lost out. You say, the reason I'm doing this, you're right, shaitan, no problem. But there's only one reason I'll tell you, that Rasulullah told me this, and I'm going to keep practicing that. That's it. If I become poor, no problem, I live a poor life, no problem. This is called yaqeen, complete yaqeen and complete iman. And the person who has yaqeen like this and he keeps on getting stronger, stronger and higher, he becomes a more developed and complete mu'min. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to practice this. Ameen. So Hazrat Ali Karamallahu Wajh, his statement, I presented to you, great statement, great companion statement. Ashir, he's not some small time person. He was a great sahabi who said this statement. And from the sahaba, he had a high, high rank. I told you his virtues. That by looking at Hazrat Ali is ibadah. That he said doing dhikr is ibadah. Doing dhikr is ibadah. So imagine what a great companion is. So do you think his response was a minor thing? So today at least believe and implement his order. That take hold of the dhikr of Allah and improve your households. If you want to improve yourself, take hold of the dhikr of Allah. If you want to take the defects out of your life, do dhikr of Allah. If you want to take backbiting out of your life, do dhikr of Allah. If you want to protect your eyes, do dhikr of Allah. If you want to improve yourself, do dhikr of Allah. And Allah will do that person's islah. And don't be weak on doing dhikr of Allah. So to get to the dhikr of Allah, then find the person who teaches the dhikr of Allah. And find the proper teacher who can teach you dhikr, the proper tariqah, the quantity, the prescription, how often to do it. Because obviously their masters, the teachers, they know how to take a student. And when should he do it? How much should he do it? At what interval? So first thing you need to do is find that guide. That for example, that Allah says the Quran is shafa. Warama. But how should you read the Quran? That if, for example, you don't go to a qari or a teacher who can teach you how to read Quran, if you don't know alif, ba, and ta, then how will the Quran become shifa rahma for you if you don't read it and learn from it? So dhikr will give you benefit, but dhikr will only benefit you when you go to the master, the professor, the physician who Allah Ta'ala selected and given the permission to teach his dhikr. The proper teacher, because Allah says, I've taught this man, he's got the ijazah now to teach you to do dhikr of Allah. So you can't find it yourself. Allah says, he didn't bring dhikr himself, the teacher. Allah says, I prepared for him, I gave him that company, he was given the ijazah so that he can benefit the human society. You understand my point? So the whole of the cure for us today is where? All of humanity today, the cure is within dhikr of Allah, remembrance of Allah. And to learn dhikr of Allah, where should you go? To the teacher, the master who can prescribe the dhikr to you. Teach the dhikr to you. Do you understand all of this now? With tarteeb, I'm explaining a sequence. So it's our job to practice. But I'm trying to explain to you in a sequence logically so you understand. And the biggest point is to have faith and belief in this today. Yaar, Hazrat Ali said this. Come, let's go and find a teacher who can teach us dhikr of Allah. May Allah give us all the tawfiq. Ameen. Recite the ruhim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah al-Min al-Amin. As-salatu was-salamu ala Sayyidi al-Mursaleen. Shukrin al-Muzlamin. Tawha wa Yasin al-Azim. اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعجي وعاتم المؤمنين وزرياته وعلى بيته كما صليت على إبراهيم وإنك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا بصيرا بصيرا اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وسلمنا وصلنا وجدنا خطبنا ودنا كل ذلك لنا اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار قنا عذاب القبر قنا عذاب العشر قنا عذاب وادخلنا جنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار اللهم نسلك العفو العافية ما فات في الدين دنيا الأهل والدين اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء دنيا عقدي اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء دنيا عقدي اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء دنيا عقدي يا الله جن بيمارون دعاؤں کے لیے کہ اپنے فضل و کرم سے تم کو شفا نصیب فرما, تمام بیماروں کو شفا نصیب فرما. یا اللہ تمام جن بیماروں نے دعاؤں کے لیے کہا ہے میرے مولا, ان کی بیماری کو دور عطا فرما, اس بیماریوں پہ اجر نصیب فرما, صبر نصیب فرما میرے مولا. یا اللہ ہم سب کی بخشش فرما, ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما. یا اللہ ہمیں ذکر سے اپنا علاج کرنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما. یا اللہ ذکر فکر کی توفیق نصیب فرما, اچھے اور نیک صالح لوگوں میں بیٹھنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما. یا اللہ کسی اللہ والے سے ہمارا تعلق جوڑ دے میرے مولا, اللہ کسی اللہ والے سے ہمارا اصلاحی تعلق جوڑ دے, اور اس کا جڑ گیا ان کی ہمیں قدر نصیب فرما. یا اللہ ان کی اطاعت نصیب فرما, ان کی باتوں پہ عمل نصیب فرما. اے میرا مولا تو اپنے فضل سے ہمارے ماں باپ کی بخشش فرما, تمام امت کی بخشش فرما. وصلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلقہ محمد و آلہ صحابہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین. سبحان ربک رب العزت عما یصفون, والسلام علی المرسلین, والحمد للہ.